Good afternoon, church.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer the gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and let us all say, amen. So let me give you a kind of a visual here. I want you to imagine that you are holding a cup of hot coffee, right? You're holding this cup of hot coffee, and someone comes up to you and they bump you. And you spill coffee all over the place. So here's the question. What made you spill coffee? Was it that you had a loose grip on the mug? Was it the carelessness of the person who came up and bumped you? What made you spill coffee? This is our third week in looking at the topic of failure. And what I want to say is that everyone fails, right? There are times in our lives when we all make mistakes. Yes, even mothers. I recently heard about a mother who had just learned how to text on her phone, and she has a conversation that's recorded with her son. And this is their text message. Mom writes, "Your great aunt just passed away. LOL. The son writes, "Why is that funny?" And she says, "It's not funny, David. What do you mean?" David says, "Mom, LOL means laughing out loud." Mom says, "Oh my goodness, I sent that to everyone. I thought it meant lots of love. I have to call everyone back." We all make mistakes. We've all experienced people making mistakes. Let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you've ever had anyone lie to you, betray you, hurt you, disappoint you. Okay, you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up this time. But how many of you have lied to others, betrayed others, hurt others, disappointed others? See, that first time we were quick to go like this. Oh, yeah! Mm-hmm. And our mom's sitting them right next to them. Some of you were like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when it comes to us admitting our failures and the times that we've disappointed others and the times that we weren't the victims but the times we are the offenders, we're not so quick to raise our hands. And yet the truth is we all have failed. What I want to do today is I want to talk about what the Bible says that we should do when we let other people down. Let's look at our scripture lesson for today again. It says in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, so if you're offering your gifts at the altar, okay? Carl Clark has just said, and God loves a cheerful giver, and ushers come and bring the offering for it, right? And you're just about ready to give your offering, and then you remember that your brother has something against you, right? You've done something wrong. You let him down. You lied. You betrayed him. You hurt them, and all of a sudden you remember that. The Bible says, leave your gift there before the altar and what? Go! First be reconciled to your brother. And that word go, that's a really emphatic word more than what we say go. It means go even if it's difficult. Go even if it's hard. Even if you have to travel. Even if there's obstacles that must be overcome. Go and first be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. This is an interesting passage and text because I can't remember any other place in the entire Bible where there is something that's of higher importance than our worship to God. That's always like the height. That's always the most important thing. And yet, this tells us that before you worship God in your giving, go and be reconciled with your brother and sister. do your part in restoring. Years ago, Sharon and I went to the Bahamas, and they've got this straw market. And in the straw market, there's all kinds of people selling stuff and people trying to get your attention. And we're going through that, and everyone's yelling and hollering at us. And we come to this one part where there are three little kids, and they're singing. And they're the cutest things. They're probably maybe 5, 6 years old, something like that. And they're singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. But they're singing in the Jamaican accent. I won't try that, but. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Now sing this part with me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Oh, and it was awesome. I mean, this was the greatest experience in the midst of all of this chaos and come by this, la, la, la. So I decided, hey, I'm going to give them a little something. That was so nice and sweet. But all I had was a $5 bill, and there was three of them. So I give the $5 bill to the oldest one, and I said, split it with them. I turn around, and as soon as I turn around, guess what they start doing? Fighting each other. I don't mean just arguing. They was fighting each other, and kicking. And and here's what it made me think. Are we like that when we come to church and we worship God? And, oh, let me read the scripture. And, oh, let me say the prayer and this and that. And then I'm going to be arguing and fighting and kicking my brother and sister in the shin. It doesn't work like that, right? Go and first be reconciled with your brother. You know, there's something else that Jesus says in this same chapter of Matthew. It's the 9th verse. He says, blessed are the what? Peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. He doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Let me tell you what I mean when I say a peacekeeper. Peacekeepers often avoid confrontation to keep the peace, right? Almost every family has a peacekeeper in the midst of the family. They're the ones who will say, oh, come on, let's not fight. Let's not talk about it. Let's not discuss it. Let's ignore it, and let's just pretend everything's okay, right? I know we're getting together here for Mother's Day, and I know there's tension, and I know there's a big elephant in the room that we're not talking about, but let's just pretend. Can't we have one Mother's Day without us arguing, right? We all have that peacekeeper in the family. And yet deep down inside, we know that our relationship isn't right. We know there's some unresolved issues that need to be discussed. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice. So Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. And here's something about peacemakers. Peacemakers embrace confrontation to make peace. Jesus says this, go. Initiate, try, work hard, even if it's difficult, make peace where there is no peace. Now, this is one of those parts where the preacher has to acknowledge his own weakness, because I am definitely a peacekeeper. I'm definitely a peacekeeper. I don't like argument. I don't like chaos. I want everybody to just be nice and kind to each other, right? That's me. But God me with a wife who's very different from me. My wife has no problem in being a peacemaker and laying it out on the table. She got no problem in saying, okay, this is what's wrong, we need to deal with it and handle it. So us being different like that, every once in a while we get into a little bit of an argument. And usually when we argue, what'll happen sometimes is that Sharon will come crawling to me on her hands and knees. No. Sharon will come crawling to me on her hands and knees, look under the bed and say, get out from underneath that bed and come fight me like a man. I avoid. But God calls us to go ahead and be peacemakers, to do what's even difficult. Let me share with you, there is an enemy of being a peacemaker, and the enemy of being a peacemaker is pride. And you say that, pride. Pride is the enemy of being a peacemaker. If you have two people that are friends, or two people that have gotten along great in their relationship together, maybe a brother and sister who for years and years have just had a wonderful relationship, and all of a sudden they go through this long drought, this long period where they're not talking to each other, guess what? Chances are you got two people who are dealing with the issue of pride, right? Well, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. And if I did do something wrong, I didn't do it as wrong as they did. I'm not apologizing. At least I'm not apologizing first. They come and apologize to me, and then maybe I'll apologize to them. And yet, our scripture tells us to be peacemakers. Here's another thing the Bible says. It says this in Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, what? Live at peace with everyone. Now, let me break this down. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, that means that we can't control others, right? And that there are sometimes, let me just say, there are sometimes that we don't need to put ourselves in toxic situations. There are sometimes where true wisdom would say, you can love a brother, but maybe you need to love them from afar. You don't need to put yourself in an abusive relationship. You don't need to put yourself in harm's way. There's some people that maybe you don't spend all your time with. You understand? You can still love them. They're still your brothers and sisters. But as far as it depends upon you, you do your part and live at peace with everyone. So that's the enemy of peace. Making, that's pride. Let me tell you what the friend of peacemaking is. The friend of peacemaking is humility. Can you say that with me? It's what? Humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's actually thinking more of others. It's valuing others. It's loving others. And when we do that in a right way, when we lift others up, when we elevate them, then we will end up, even when we're right, loving them more than loving being right, right? I will love this person more than I love being right. I can say to them over and over again, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. But when I'm humble, I'm just going to say, you know what? I love you. I'm going to let it be at that. I'm going to let the love of God help to form and to shape me. What I want to do is I want to spend just a little bit of time making another confession. And here's my confession. 10 minutes after I got done working on writing this part of the sermon, someone came into the church, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and I said, hey, how you doing? And I'm like this, hey, how you doing? And they were like this. I'm not happy with you, Pastor Joe. You let me down. You hurt me. I didn't know how to take it. And all of a sudden, you know, I start making excuses. I was like, yeah, I thought you were going to do this, or I thought you were going to do that. And I'm coming up with all these justifications, right? And then as I'm saying the words, it's as if God came up behind me and smacked me on the back of my neck, right? I jumped, oh, and God whispered in my ear, practice what you preach. Literally, I'm still working on the message. And here I am. This and that. God's saying, practice what you preach. Take out the pride and put in the humility, right? What if God were to come up behind you right now? Will he? And smack you on? No, I'm not going to do that. Smack you on the back of the neck, right? And say, stop! Take out the pride and put in the humility. Because isn't that what God did exactly to David? King David had the affair with Bathsheba and killed Uriah the Hittite, who was her husband. And then later, as he's thinking he's gotten away with it all, the prophet Nathan comes up to him and says, King, let me tell you, there was this poor man who had only one sheep that he loved like a little baby, like a member of his family. And his next door neighbor who had plenty of sheep, went and stole that one sheep, killed it, and served to his guests. What should happen to that man? King David was furious. He said, that man should be killed. And the prophet looked at him and said, you are that man. And it was as if God came up and smacked David right upside his head. Take out the pride and put in the humility. Take out the pride of our lives. Stop. Don't worship me with a fake worship that says Jesus loves me while you hate your brothers and sisters. I don't know that type of worship. Stop. Take out the pride and put in the humility and go. Try. Do your part. Whatever it takes to make that relationship right. I want to get practical just for a few moments here. And I want to get practical and talk about how is it that we apologize. And the reason I want to do that is because you do know there is a right way to apologize and a wrong way to apologize. You do know that, right? The wrong way to apologize is like this. I'm sorry if you think that I've done anything wrong. Right? That's not an apology. That's a cop-out. Okay. Here's the wrong way to apologize. I'm sorry if what I said hurt your feelings, and if you're so sensitive and you keep all your feelings on your sleeve, that's a put down, right? How do we apologize in the right way? I got just a few points that I want to share with you as I'm closing. And the first point is this: get specific, name it. I'm sorry for blank, whatever it is. There's something healing when we bring it to light, when we actually name it and claim it. I'm sorry I lied. I'm sorry I did what I wasn't supposed to. I'm sorry. And then you know what? Some people will be saying, well, Pastor, I don't have anything to apologize for. I didn't do anything. Guess what? There are some of us who need to apologize for not doing anything, right? There are sins that are sins of commission and sins of omission. And a sin of commission is when you do something that's wrong and that's a sin. A sin of omission is when there's something you should have done, right? So maybe we need to apologize because I didn't do anything. I'm sorry I didn't stick up for you. I'm sorry I didn't protect you. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. I'm sorry I put other things in front of you. I'm sorry. We need to sometimes be specific about the actions and even the attitudes that were behind it. Here's the second thing. Don't make excuses. Can you say that with me? We've all seen someone who starts to apologize and it's a real good apology at first, right? And then they mess it up with the excuse. Like this. You know what? I am so sorry that I stole that money. But you are so stingy. And if you just had a better job, if you just got me more stuff, right? Can I tell you what I hear the moment someone gives me an excuse in the midst of an apology? The excuse negates the apology. They're not really sorry, and given the same circumstances, they will do the same thing. It makes sense to me that I did this because blah, 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 blah. All I hear is same circumstances. I'm doing the same thing. Think about this. Instead of making excuses, own up to it. I'm sorry. Be specific. Don't make excuses. And then here's the next thing. Accept the consequences. Accept the consequences. When you do something wrong, you gossip and betray your best friend, guess what? They might be a little slower to trust you next time. So accept the consequences. The fourth thing is this. Change your behavior. Don't just apologize, but talk to someone. Get some help. Ask people to pray for you. Pray that God would give you a source of strength that maybe you don't have. And then the last thing I want to say is this. Ask them for forgiveness. Would you say that with me? Ask for forgiveness. Don't just apologize, but then add to it some of the most powerful words that we've ever heard. Jesus was on the cross and he was dying for our sins. And in the midst of that, to the people that were mocking him, that had betrayed him, that had lied about him, that were spitting upon him, he said, Father, do what? Forgive them. They know not what they do. And yet we know what we do. Ask for forgiveness. Some of you are blessed to be here with your mothers. Some of you are blessed to have your children with you. Others of us have been blessed to have good relationships with our mothers. Others of us have had relationships that were wanting, or maybe no relationship at all. And we might not have said these words, but all of us at some time or other has needed to say these words. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Do your part. You can't control their response, but what we can control is doing whatever we can to live at peace with one another. I want you to go back to this mental image. And the image is of you holding a cup of coffee. Someone comes up and they bump you. And you end up spilling coffee all over the place. Here's the question. Why did you spill coffee? What, was it because you didn't have a close enough grip on the coffee cup? Or was it because the person who came up and bumped you was careless? Why did you spill coffee? The reason you spilled coffee was because coffee was what was in your cup. If there had been sweet tea in the cup, what would you have spilled? Sweet tea, right? And that's the way it is with our life. With our life, we can just be fine and everything can be great until life bumps us and jostles us and pushes us, right? And then we can't help it. We end up spilling what's on the inside. We can't keep life from rattling us, but what we can do is we can choose what we put on the inside. We can choose, will it be pride or will it be humility? Life is going to bump you. Life is going to mess you up. Sometimes you're going to fail, you're going to slip, you're going to fall. You choose what spills out. Amen.